It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Ralph Goodman and directed by Max Hutto. Let's listen to Fibber and Molly for a moment before we get into our story.
McGee, if you happen to be downtown tomorrow, there's a sale on at the Bon Ton.
Whoop, whoop, hold it, kiddo. Isn't there a safer way to save money than bargain hunting?
There is. If you're thinking about the Prudential's new low-cost preferred whole life plan.
I'm thinking about it, Molly. And I admit if people want more family protection for their life insurance dollar, the preferred whole life plan is for them. It's really low cost. And to qualify, you just have to be between the ages of 21 and 59, in good physical shape, in a non-hazardous occupation, and need $10,000 or more of additional life insurance.
And when we say Prudential's preferred whole life is low cost, we mean it.
Particularly when you think about what this plan will provide. Income for the family if something happens to Dad, or if things go okay, money toward a carefree, independent retirement for Mom and Pop.
How about seeing your Prudential agent tomorrow? He'll be glad to show you how to make your family's future more secure through the Prudential. The company with the strength of Gibraltar.
As you probably expected, we take you now to 79 Wistful Vista. Mr. McGee is upstairs. Mrs. McGee is downstairs. The back door slams and a gentle voice says,
"Grocery boy! Biddle Toter, first class, reporting to headquarters with the order of the day."
Oh, hello, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hi, daughter. Where do you want him?
Oh, I'll put him any place. I don't care.
Oh, now, don't you worry about it, daughter. It'll work out all right. Mark my words, Uncle John will soon be able to throw away them crutches and get his job back at the Whiffle Tree factory, and that'll leave Eloise free to marry Colonel Hathaway without being cut off from the will.
Hmm?
And young Dr. Lancer can continue his practice because that'll clear him of the murder of Nurse Carlton, who I was sure was an FBI man in disguise.
What are you talking about?
That program all you housewives listen to every place I go. Miserable Mary of Happiness House. Ain't that what you're sniffling about?
No. I wish my problem was as simple as hers.
You mean you're up against something more complicated?
Well, to me it is. But, oh, there's no use bothering you with it.
Daughter, I've been around a long time. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen and heard and had, for that matter. So if pouring out your problem into these generous ears of mine will help, start a-pouring.
Well, Okay, I will. Close that dining room door there, will you? I don't want anybody to hear this.
Okay, daughter. There we are. Now then, what's your problem?
Well, it's McGee.
Daughter, those are two of the saddest words I've heard since this morning's chapter of Miserable Mary of Happiness House. What happened? Somebody talk him into drawing out your life savings and putting it into a factory to manufacture holes for bowling balls?
No. It's just that... Well, today is our anniversary.
It is?
Yes, and for the very first time in all these years, he's forgotten all about it. He hasn't said a word. You'd think a man would remember a thing as important as that, wouldn't you?
Oh, you sure would. Yes, sir. What anniversary is it?
The 70th.
Many happy returns of the 70th?
Yes, the 70th anniversary of the first day we met. This one is so important, we celebrate it twice a year.
Oh. Where'd you kids meet? At a dance or something?
Oh, no. No, we were too young to go to dances. I was 5 and he was 8. Said he was 14, but I found out later that cigarette he was smoking was made of candy. Oh, he was so cute. You should have seen him, the little darling.
Hey, Molly, it's almost noon. How about some lunch?
If you want some lunch, you can get it yourself. I'm busy. Oh, how I hate him.
Now, you don't mean that, daughter.
Oh, of course not. But you think after all these years he'd remember a simple date like February the 9th at 3 p.m. when we met 35 years ago.
Yeah, that shouldn't be hard.
Shh, shh, here he comes. Now, don't you say a word. No hinting. If he's going to remember it, he'll have to do it by himself. I'm not going to help him one bit. Not one bit.
Oh, hi, kiddo. Oh, hi, old-timer.
McGee, do you know what today is?
Hmm?
Have you any idea at all?
Think hard, Johnny.
You hush.
Well, today is, let me see, February. Oh, my gosh, sure I know what day this is.
Oh, good.
Well, I'm glad it finally came to you.
It's the deadline to pay the light bill.
What?
Uh-oh.
The very last absolute minute is noon today. Boy, am I glad you remind me of that, kiddo. That bill ought to be here in the flour canister, and I'll rush right downtown with it.
Oh.
Oh, and never mind about lunch, Molly. I'll get some down at Walt's malt shop. What the heck's the matter with her?
Sorry, Johnny. I'm swore to secrecy.
Huh?
See you later. I gotta write this plot down and mail it to Miserable Mary, a happiness house. This is one they'll love.
Back to Wistful Vista in a minute.
Hello, Whispering Willie. What do you hear?
Plenty. I hear there are $10,000 in prizes for farm buildings.
$10,000 for farm buildings? Tell me.
It's a farm building contest sponsored by Better Farming Magazine and the National Lumber Manufacturers Association. You can put up a new farm building or remodel an old one and compete for a prize that may pay for the whole project. There are 48 prizes in all, from $100 all the way up to $1,500.
That sounds wonderful. How do you enter the contest?
Ask your local lumber dealer or read about it in Better Farming.
Yes, read it in Better Farming. Better Farming, the new name for country gentlemen. The Farm Building Contest is one of the many ways the magazine is helping farmers. You can farm better with better buildings. So improve your farm buildings and try for a big cash prize. For details, see your lumber dealer or read Better Farming.
I don't know. I suppose I expect too much of him, maybe. I guess he's got a lot on his mind. I don't know what, for heaven's sake, but I guess he has. But darn it, I remembered our anniversary. I remembered what day this is, but not him. He remembers the light bill. Wants me to run and open the door for him, I suppose. I'm reading a book on how to understand a husband, so if you forgot your key, crawl under the door. Oh, Cora Burns.
Yes, Miss McGee.
I'm terribly sorry, Cora. I thought it was McGee. Come in. Come right in and sit down.
Well, I can't stay long, Miss McGee. Him had a fight, huh?
No, but we're going to.
Got me curious now.
Here, let me have your coat.
Okay.
Sit down. I'll fix us a pot of tea.
Oh, well, really, I can't stay very long. I'm due back at Walt's malt shop at 1:00, but if you can't tell me what Mr. McGee's done by that time, then the heck with Walt. I'll stay here.
Well, you see, today is a very special... ...took the light bill and dashed off without saying a word about the anniversary.
Well... After all, Miss McGee, if it was a regular anniversary, you know, like your wedding anniversary, I'd recommend hitting him right over the head with the flat side of a meat cleaver. You'd be surprised how that jogs a husband's memory.
Oh, well,
this is kind of an odd anniversary, remember, the day you met. In this case, I'd hit him with something lighter.
Well, I guess I expect too much from McGee, Cora.
I guess maybe we all do. I know with Marvin, I've learned that the less I expect, the less disappointed I am.
But this is the very first time McGee has forgotten this date, though. He always used to come downstairs at breakfast time and say, "Happy anniversary of the first day we met, Tootsie." Mm-hmm. And he'd always give me a little present.
Well, that sure is sweet, all right.
I still have the first one he ever gave me, an antique gold brooch. Real gold. Would you like to see it?
Love to.
I'll get it. McGee bought it with the first big money he ever earned. $3.50.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, it's very pretty, too, Cora. It's sort of an antique gold, and it gets dull and tarnished looking, but I don't mind that.
I know what you mean.
I polish it all the time. In fact, I kind of like the way it gets dull looking so often.
You lost me there. You say you like it to get dull?
Well, it gives me a chance to sit down quietly by myself about once a month, and while I polish the brooch, I think about all the wonderful times McGee and I had when we were younger. You know, that's funny.
What's the matter?
I can't seem to find it. Oh, I know where it is. It's upstairs in the dresser drawer.
Oh, my goodness, look what time it is. I better scram.
Well, some other time.
Yes, if I'm not behind that counter at the malt shop pretty soon yelling, two burgers with onions to go and stop banging on that glass, mister. I'll be over in a minute. Walt'll have a breakdown.
Well, it was nice of you to drop by, Cora. Come again soon,
will. Goodbye, Miss McGee.
Bye.
And, honey, don't worry about that husband of yours. After all, men are just...
Oh, I'm sorry, Cora. Hi.
My fault, Mr. McGee. Bye.
What's the rush, Cora?
Why don't you...
Yeah, yeah. We all must do that again sometime. Oh, hi, kiddo.
Hello.
See, you had a visitor while I was gone.
Yes, well, I've got to go do the laundry.
Happy anniversary of the first day we met, Tootsie. Here.
Oh, McGee, you did remember. The old timer didn't tell you, did he?
No. I had this planned for weeks. This is for you, Molly. A little surprise. Open it up.
Oh, McGee, you didn't have to.
I know, but I did. I couldn't tell you about it because it wasn't ready yet. Go on, open it up.
Goodness, I'm so nervous. What is it?
Open it up.
It's such a small box.
Open it up.
Oh.
Yeah. Your old gold brooch. The one I gave you on the first anniversary of the first day we met. That it always looks dull. I had it chromium plated. You like it?
Oh, it's beautiful. Chromium, yes. Oh, it's just beautiful.
Look at that baby shine. Now you won't have to polish it anymore. I always felt sorry for you, kiddo. Sitting there in that dark corner polishing that thing every month. No more polishing now. Look at that baby shine.
Yes. Ah, who cares? Oh, you're a darling, McGee. I wouldn't trade you for the world.
Look at that baby shine.
Fibber and Molly will be right back.
How much difference can a shampoo make in the appearance of your hair? You'll find out after your first sudsing with Dial shampoo. Because this new shampoo gives your hair that diamond sparkle look, a bright, shiny look you'll love. And with Dial shampoo, you get loads of creamy, rich, lanolated lather, too. It leaves every strand of your hair ever so soft, ever so easy to manage, even right after shampooing. Once you try new Dial shampoo, you'll know how true this little song is.
Sparkle, sparkle, your hair too. Sparkles after Dial shampoo. Dial shampoo gets your hair clean. Dial shampoo gives your hair sheen. Diamond sparkle, that's for you when you use Dial shampoo.
Look for Dial shampoo in the unbreakable squeeze bottle at your favorite store.
Sure nice to celebrate our anniversary just quietly at home instead of going out someplace and fighting the crowds on a dance floor or something, ain't it?
I'm happy. Besides, I'd rather wear this brooch with a chromium plating job here in the house for my husband than anywhere else, anyhow.
Ah, that's sweet, kiddo. Would you mind turning your chair a little the other way, kiddo?
My chair?
Yeah, just move it a little. That brooch is shining in my eyes and I can't see the sport pages. Boy, look at that baby shine. Dazzling, ain't it?
Yeah.
Wow, look at that baby shine. Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber McGee and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed with Bill Thompson as the old-timer and Elvia Allman as Cora. This is John Wald inviting you to meet Mr. Michael Brogan on the program tomorrow night. Who's he? Well, tune in and see. Join the great Gildersleeve and all his friends tonight on the NBC Radio Network.